And Crossroads is a special place to our family, as many of you know. And Mike asked me to preach, so that's what I'm going to try and do this morning. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. And while you're turning there, we're talking about Jehovah is glorious. Jehovah is glorious from the Old Testament. And this is really too good not to share with you, so I think probably you moms can relate to this. Some time ago, a woman named Emily was renewing her driver's license, and she was at the county clerk's office in another state, and she was asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation. And she hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself, and she said, "What I mean is," explained the recorder, "do you have a job? Are you just a..." And of course, she said, "I have a job. I'm a mother." We don't list mother as an occupation. Housewife covers it, the female civil servant said emphatically. An unknown author tells this story sometime later, and how she was about all but forgot about this situation until one day she found herself in the same situation. And the clerk there was obviously full of herself and her job, and she was poised and efficient and she had some kind of high-sounding title like town registrar. She was a little intimidating, frankly, to this woman, and she said, "What is your occupation?" And she said in response, "What made me say it, I really don't know. The words just popped out." She said, "I'm a research associate in the field of child development and human relations." And the clerk paused for a minute, pen frozen in midair, and she looked up as though she hadn't heard her correctly. And so the woman said, I repeated it, slowly this time, for research associate in the field of child development and human relations. And then she said, "I stared with wonder as my pronouncement was written in bold black ink on the official questionnaire. Might I ask," said the clerk with a renewed interest, "just what you do in your field?" Coolly, without a trace of fluster, I heard myself say, I couldn't believe it, "I have a continuing program of research." What mother doesn't, right? "A continuing program of research in the laboratory and in the field." Normally, she said, I would have said indoors and out, but she said, "I already have 4 credits. I'm working for my master's," which is the whole family, "and I have 4 credits," which were all daughters. "And of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities." Any mother care to disagree with that? "And I often work 14 hours a day," probably more like sun up to sundown, Mom. There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she spoke to me. And as she completed the form, she stood up and personally escorted me to the door. And as I drove into our driveway, refreshed with my new sense of glamorous career, I was greeted by my lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3. Upstairs, I could hear our new experimental model, a 6-month-old little girl, in the child development program, testing out a new vocal pattern. And she said, "You know, I just felt triumphant. I had scored a hit on the bureaucracy. And I had gone on the official record as someone more distinguished and indispensable to mankind than just another mother." You know, I thought about this. Motherhood is a glorious career, especially, as this woman thought, when there's a special title on the door. And I think we fail a lot of times when we don't acknowledge the importance of mothers. But I wondered, too, does this make grandmothers senior research associates in the field of child development and human relations, and great-grandmothers, executive senior research associates. I think it does. I also think it makes aunts associate research assistants. And so I said I just want to echo what Mike has already said in the service today, and y'all have shared, Adam, with the importance of motherhood. I found this that I thought was good. Cherish the roses of life, a daughter, a mother, a wife. Their smile, their strength, and their love, like blessings sent down from above. And what a joy it is today for us to honor mothers. Those wonderful ladies who grant us life and give us loving care, pray for us, watch over us, nurturing us all the days of our lives. And today, mothers face a difficult and challenging task, don't they? It seems as our nation struggles to lead a constantly changing world to peace and prosperity. Mothers provide support and encouragement, often leading the way in this, in fact, to creative solutions for the world's problems. So thank you again, mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." And I found a Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests or preachers." And that's so true, isn't it? Well, let's look in our text today. I want to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2 in the book of Exodus. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the children therein, and she laid it in the flag by the river's bank," or brink. "And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts from this your word today. Make clear to us, Father, your word and the message that you have for each heart. We do thank you for mothers. And Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified as we acknowledge you as the planner of all of the family. And we're so thankful that this was in your plan and that we can acknowledge you and mothers today. I pray, Lord, that we'd all grow in the Scripture today to know how we ought to live and even follow this biblical example today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think as we look at this passage of Scripture today and see Jochebed, whose name means Jehovah is glorious, that we see how this mother displays the characteristics of a godly woman. And listen to me today, men. Her characteristics are not reserved strictly for women, but they're intended for all of us, male or female, young or old. And I think it's so very important that we get that because, again, while this is a Mother's Day message, this is a message from Scripture that applies to all of us. Exodus chapter 2 introduces us to this woman, Jochebed, that demonstrates for us a selfless kind of love. And her sacrifice, think about it, this was a tremendous sacrifice. We're going to talk about how it made it possible for her son Moses to both live and grow in the love of God. And Mike said it, Adam said it, I heard it on the radio this morning. You know, I think priority number one is for a mother is to lead her children to faith in the Lord. And Moses, even Moses' name, just like Jochebed's, had real meaning. And the idea of being drawn out of the water is indicative of his life. The idea of saved from the water is important. And eventually, Moses, we know, became the leader of God's people, and he brought them out of their slavery in Egypt, which is a picture of sin. And it's just so important, I think, for us to get that Moses' mother is representative of what God would have mothers to be today. First of all, Jochebed was a mother of godly credentials. Verse 1. You notice what it says there about her husband, Amram, we find his name in other places, was of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi, Jochebed. Moses' mother and father had forefathers in the Levitical line, that is, in the priestly line, the sons or tribe of Levi, of the 12 tribes of Israel. And generations before their families were of the tribe of Levi, just the whole picture of that priestly tribe, when you look in the Old Testament, talks about the importance of worshiping God. That's what it was about. And so the priestly tribe was, we know, responsible for the leading of the people of God in sacrificial worship. And of course, we're under grace. We don't still have that sacrificial Levitical system of worship today, but we're still to offer the sacrifice of praise, even the sacrifice of the praise of our lips and the praise of our hearts in worship, whether in God's house or whether we're on the job, wherever we are, to worship Him and glorify Him. And Moses would lead the people of Israel eventually in the worship in the tabernacle. God would instruct His people both on how to build the tabernacle and the temple, and how to worship in it. And the tabernacle, we know, was a tent. It's interesting. Our home church is Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, and my mother-in-law was a member of the old tabernacle, which was a tent. They had a sawdust floor. And she used to talk about that, and she could remember when she was young going to that tabernacle. But you may remember in the Old Testament that this tent was a huge thing, and it was folded up, and they'd take it with them as they moved through their Exodus, and it was the responsibility of this tribe of Levi, of which Jochebed and Amram, Moses' parents, were members. It was that tribe's responsibility that continued when they built the temple to lead them, the people of Israel, in worship. And both Jochebed and Amram, whose name means of the highest God, were godly in that they married within the tribe of Levi according to God's law. So when we talk about Jochebed being of godly credentials, the idea is that she was supposed to do that. They were supposed to marry within the tribe of Levi. And again, this is just another of Jochebed's godly credential. Every woman needs a relationship with God in order to be a wellspring of spirituality for their family. And I'd say that's pretty good credentials, wouldn't you? Even that she was a godly woman and obeyed God. And every child needs a mother with a relationship with God. We need godly mothers and fathers, men and women, who know the Lord first and foremost, and those who will model a Christ-like love and a Christ-like nature. Jochebed had the credentials, the godly credentials, that we may pattern our lives after. But then I want you to notice with me that Jochebed was also a woman of godly courage, verse 2. Now, just taking that verse by itself, you might not think too much about courage, but if you're familiar with the story, she didn't want to put her son in the river to die, did she? And that's what happened. You remember? We'll talk about that. Jochebed was a woman of godly courage. Dedicated to her Lord, she was also dedicated to her children and was even willing, we see, to defy Pharaoh's decree in order to obey God's commandments and to preserve the life of her child. She was risking her own life to do so. And did you notice? It says, when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him. And just as, no doubt, every mother sees her child, Jochebed saw Moses as a beautiful child, but perhaps she saw something more. We don't know, but maybe she saw something in his countenance. Maybe she saw something special about this man-child, which was a real blessing for a Jewish woman to have a man-child. Something that God would use. And still, we know that Pharaoh could do whatever Pharaoh wanted to do, whatever he desired to do. Having all the male Hebrew babies killed at birth was within his authority, and that's what he did. And he had a plan. You remember the plan? He was going to use the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, to kill the babies when they were birthed, and to tell the mothers that their children were stillborn. You remember the story? But that didn't work, because these midwives honored God more than they honored Pharaoh. And they allowed them to both be born, those babies, those Hebrew babies, and to live. And when questioned about the fact that there were so many yet being born, these Hebrew midwives said that the Hebrew women were lively, you remember it said, and birthed their children before they could get there to kill them. And they saved these children alive. So then Pharaoh told the Hebrews, well, you'll have to sacrifice your male babies that live in the Nile River. You see how that brings this together? And when they were born and alive, then they'd have to sacrifice them there in the river. Well, Jochebed just couldn't bring herself to do that with Moses. Aren't you glad? And she said that she would make him an ark of bulrushes, and the scripture tells us about that, and that she would trust God. She was a courageous woman. And today, perhaps more than ever, we need people of godly character and courage to hold to a much higher standard than the standard of this world in this day and age in which we live. It doesn't take courage to go along with whatever the culture we live in dictates, but when we go against the grain of the world, and when we, whoever we are, man or woman, take a stand on the Word of God, it'll take great courage. And that's exactly what Jochebed did with great conviction. And beloved of God, in this, we would say, throwaway society that we live in today, from babies to batteries, it will take real courage to side with God in His Word. Amen? I mean, can you imagine this? May 14, 2014, a woman thought it was neat and would help others to have her abortion videoed. Did you read that? Did you hear about that? I mean, how repulsive is that today? And yet that's the world we live in, and that's the world that requires this godly courage for the people of God. And then thirdly, I want you to notice that Jochebed was a woman of godly confidence. Her confidence was not in herself, and I want you to get this. Verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flag by the river's bank. We can almost say, in order to save her child, what else could she do? I mean, you know, he's 3 months old. How do you hide a baby that's 3 months old? Your former pastor was a crier. I mean, crier. How do you hide a baby that's 3 months old? But now, she was a Jew, and Pharaoh had made a decree. In fact, he'd made a second decree to destroy the Hebrew children. Can you imagine even having to put your child in a little ark at the edge of the River Nile? Now, she was a wise woman, and she was observant, and no doubt God led her, and she followed God's leadership, and this all came to pass because it was of the Lord. Amen? But still, she was confident with a godly confidence. And her confidence was what? I believe it was her faith, don't you? Her faith in God. Yes, she used her resources. She used those bulrushes. She used her daughter. But when standing against the powers of spiritual darkness, and that's what it was about in that day, our faith is our only true resource, isn't it? Our faith is our resource. Jochebed was a resourceful woman, no doubt about that. But her human resources simply were not adequate, for the challenges that she was facing. And when she could no longer hide him, as it says, that may have signaled the end of her resources, but it wasn't the end of her faith, was it? And her faith caused her to rely on God. In effect, she said, God, I can't, but I know you can. She trusted in the unseen work of God by saying, God, he's yours, and I entrust him to your hands. And her faith, just as a side note, landed her in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. That's amazing, isn't it? God thought something of her godly confidence, didn't he? And it was a testimony to us today. Just as Jochebed needed faith to resist the world and save her son, so she needed faith to rely on God, to trust God for his will to be done, releasing Moses to God's care. You know, many parents today need to release their children, not in the way that many are, but really release their children into God's care. Not to the ways of the world, but to the ways of the Word and the way of the Lord. And I trust you parents are listening today. Hear me, moms and dads. The world will feed, clothe, shelter, and entertain your children if you'll let it. I guarantee you. But I also guarantee you, you won't like the results. And how many parents today are grieving because they turn their children over to the world for all intents and purposes? How sad today. If only, as Mike and I were discussing before the service, if only parents would take as job one the important task of leading their children to the Lord. And although Jochebed released her child, it's interesting here, did you notice that God gave her back her child for a little while? And being the wise woman she was, Jochebed realized that she would only have one chance with Moses, and that wouldn't last long. And that soon he would be gone from her, gone from her home, in fact, right into Pharaoh's palace to be influenced by Pharaoh's daughter, especially. Isn't that like today? I mean, we do the best we can, and then they're out there on their own. We better equip them with faith when they face the world. We'd better encourage them in the things of the Lord and guide them in the way to go. Because once they're out there, again, it's out of our control, and we have to entrust them to God. But we need to do our job in the home first and foremost. Jochebed took advantage of her opportunity, and she taught Moses about the one true and living God and His commandments to His people. And God honored that, and God will honor that always, even in the lives of your children and mine. And then we notice that Jochebed was also a woman of godly compensation. Look at verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now, Pharaoh's daughter didn't understand, did she? I mean, Jochebed would have done that for nothing. I mean, that was her child. But isn't it interesting? This woman of godly compensation, not only did God save her son, He caused Pharaoh's daughter to pay her to raise him. Isn't that interesting? He said, "I'll give you your wages." In other words, you're going to work for me and I'm going to pay you. Kind of a, what, haughty attitude in that little lowly Hebrew home. You do this for me and I'll pay you. But her love and her charity led to her compensation. I'm talking about the love and the charity of Jochebed. Her love led to her reward. And what was it? It was not her wages, but by pouring her life into His, we see that God rewarded her in a far greater way than things material. Because we know the rest of the story, don't we? How Moses, her son, became a great man of God. In fact, the deliverer of the nation of Israel. That's some compensation, isn't it? That's how God compensates faithfulness. And today, true to His name, we're reminded that drawing them out of Egypt's sin and the waters of the Red Sea, that Moses' life really was a gift back to Jochebed for her faith, for her life of trusting God. And interesting how God used an ark to save alive at least two of His greatest servants, didn't He? Noah and Moses. But Moses was also the great lawgiver. And he was a protector of Israel. Again, Moses, stay with me on this, was a type of Christ, wasn't he? Moses was a type of Christ who leads us out of sin, who gives us that freedom that we have by grace through faith in Christ and Him alone. He was the one who came to save His people from their sin. No doubt about it, Jochebed shared with Moses her personal faith in God. And why, I ask you, would parents today be afraid to do the same? The same, that is, assuming they have true faith in God. And how today we need God-fearing parents and children who will follow God, living a life that brings God the glory. And this church and our world needs those young and old whom God can use to instill in others their genuine faith and their godly values. I think it's so important today that as we think about this godly mother, that we realize that truly Jochebed reveals that Jehovah is glorious. God is glorious. And it reflects the image, doesn't it, of a godly mother. And if your heart's been stirred today by God's Spirit, then listen to me. You need to respond to Him in faith. Some may be for salvation. I don't know about you. Some for greater sanctification. That is just letting God work out of you through your life what He's worked into your life by faith in Jesus Christ. just letting Him grow you up in the things of God so that you can help to grow up those that you influence, whether it be your children, your nephews, your husband, your wife, whoever it is. And I wonder, will you, like Jochebed, have faith and obey God? Or this may be a time for you to just pray, to pray for your mother. I don't know what your mother may be going through today. Or as a mother, to pray for your children. Or maybe just to pray for yourself today, whoever you are. Maybe to just praise God for a mother who's no longer with us physically. For certain, I think we all need to leave this place different from the persons we were when we came in. And we can do so by humbling ourselves before God, by trusting Him with our lives, with our families, with our jobs, our school, our marriages, whatever it is. God is sufficient. Jehovah is glorious. And I close with this illustration for mothers. Did you notice that God chose to describe Himself as a mother in Scripture? It's true. In Matthew 23:37, it's the mother bird that gathers her chicks under her wings. You remember the story? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks or her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. But the story is told of a man who was looking over the charred remains of his farm after a terrible fire. He surveyed the barnyard and he noticed there a lump of something on the ground that was still moving. Everything was charred. And he noticed it was moving, and so he kicked it, and from under that pile of smoldering feathers came a little chick. That mother hen had faced the fire with courage, and she gave her own life to protect the life of her little chick. That's how the Lord describes Himself. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. So yes, you see, we ought to see this morning the great gift God gave us when He gave us mothers. But most important, I pray that you'll see and receive the greatest gift of all, His Son and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Just before Mike comes to close us out, I want to ask you to pray. Pray with me. This altar's open, whatever, however God leads you. Father, I thank You that we can bow in Your presence and acknowledge Your Word being true and powerful and speaking to our hearts today, that truth that sets men free for salvation for some who may come today, for others, Lord, who look to You for encouragement and strength beyond themselves, that they might have Your grace to face the day, Your strength and comfort, Lord, just Your power and wisdom to live day by day for Your glory. And I pray You'd be glorified in our lives as we acknowledge You in all things. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.